Everyone, we're back.
Yes, it is the Lucas and Lee podcast.
We had a brief hiatus there. I was in the lovely state of Florida. Everyone knows my favorite state.
That's your favorite state. And I was down in the OC this past weekend. So we both were in places where the weather is called perfection.
The weather is called perfection. Yeah, it was so nice. Yeah, it was so nice.
Same thing with the OC. And the great thing about, I don't know about Gainesville, but in the OC, there's no allergies. It's just nice breezes. And
so in Florida, there's just humidity and alligators. That's basically. And hurricanes, depending on what time of year it is.
Yeah.
And the occasional hurricane. But, you know, when I was back last week, you know, it's the start of monsoon season.
Okay.
So basically, monsoon season in Florida means that if you're living in Gainesville, like I was, you could pretty much count on... count on it as fact that every afternoon at 3 o'clock, it's going to start raining. And I would just be in my bed getting ready for my afternoon nap and hearing the rain hit against the luxurious single wide trailer that I was living in.
See, I wouldn't mind. How long does it last? For 15, 20 minutes?
About 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. I will say that I think in all of America, the best weather is the OC. It's either the OC or San Diego. For weather, the prices are ridiculous. But I think the weather, that's the best weather in America, you think?
Yeah, well, maybe San Diego. Maybe.
Yeah, it's either OC or San Diego, I think.
Yeah, it is either the OC or San Diego. So speaking of perfect, you know, we always start off with relationships.
Yes, a relationship topic.
Relationship topic.
Because you're desperately trying to find that perfect person. Have you given up?
I haven't given up, but it's just gonna, you know, well.
You did say something off camera.
I did.
That I never thought I would hear from you ever. Mm-hmm. And you said, there is no the one.
No, there isn't a perfect person out
the
there
one,
for
yeah.
anyone.
That's been sold though our whole life.
It has. You are sold that there is one person out there that's meant just for you. And I don't think there is. I think there are people that there are people in your life that just make your life better.
And there's ones that make your life miserable, too.
Yes. I know we've referred to one in this podcast several times. But there are people who make your lives better. There are people who put a smile on your
face. They add to your life.
They add to your life. They are people that you could imagine growing old with and holding hands with and all those things. But I think we are all sold on this myth that there's a perfect person. When you meet them, everything is just going to be rainbows and sunshine.
Yes.
Instead of the fact that you got to keep on working at it. I mean, relationships are work.
Are they worth the work?
Yes.
Some of them.
The ones that I just discussed that... they add to your life, that they put a smile. Whenever you see their name pop up on a text, you get a smile on your face. Whenever you're with them, you give them this look and they give you this look. And it's just great. And when you're with them at the time, that is great and it's perfect. But it's something that always takes continuous work and effort and all those things. And I totally forget. It was a reel on the gram from someone who was talking about a podcast. But the same person was talking about what women are drawn to.
Yes. And we all know what women are drawn to. 6 foot, making some serious cash, and is in really, really, really good shape. That's what they want. A 6 foot man who makes a lot of money and is in really good shape. Basically, they want a professional athlete that isn't a professional athlete, but making money doing a job that is a great career.
Man, Lucas, such the cynical take on
this. But things. Isn't that kind of what...
So what this individual on the gram was saying is that women are drawn to people with passion. They are drawn to people with passions. They are drawn to people with a growth mindset that are interested in things and continue to grow. And they're drawn to potential. You know, she was mentioning how there was a woman who was making way more than the guy she was going out with was making, but she saw the potential in that guy. And then she went on to say that, And this is where the perfect thing came in, because she was like, women, she said women don't want a guy who is perfect. Women want someone who puts in the effort, who shows, who is attentive, who, you know, puts everything into, puts what they need to put into a relationship to show that they are trying, that that's what women are drawn and attracted to.
And I agree with that to an extent, that they definitely want somebody who's trying. Like, you need to try. If you're a guy,
yes,
you need to try. But I will say that if you're, and that's if you're in a relationship, you have to try. But if you're not in a relationship, it definitely helps if you're 6 foot tall, make a good salary, and are in really good shape. If you're not in a relationship, you're a single guy, and because I do know a lot of single men that are having difficult times dating, and when you look at them, you're like, well, what is he not offering? It's his height. It's that maybe he's not making enough money, or maybe he's a little out of shape.
And correct me, ladies that listen in, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is definitely like peer and societal pressure to present someone that your friends would be cool with.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, because here's the thing, is that if this is at least what my experience is with women, I have a lot of women friends. Women do like their friends to like their significant other.
Yes.
Like you don't care. Like if you brought in a girl here and I said, I don't care, I don't really like her that much, you're like, oh, okay, well, whatever. You wouldn't care. You don't care what my thoughts really are, you know, unless she's pure evil and she's over there like, you know, ripping up stuff.
Yeah.
You really don't care what I think, because it's like, you know, you're like, hey, this is who I'm dating. And if you don't like it, oh, well, for you. But women definitely like, for the most part, from what I've seen from the women I've talked to, they like their friends to like their significant other.
Yeah, they do. And I also, at least I think with the younger generation, remember, I was once a collegiate professor once upon a time.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
I was. I think especially amongst the younger generation, you do have very much, it's like that song, you know, you want your guy to be 6 foot five and in finance. There is this idealized version that gets pitched to everyone via, you know, via pop culture of, this is what both your woman and your man should look like. You know, on men, you want someone who looks like Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
For women, you want someone who looks like a finance bro. And especially in the younger, you know, people much younger than I and you.
Yeah.
That's what kind of gets pitched. And that's why you're seeing a lot of, I remember a few shows ago, we talked about the fact that between men between ages 18 and 25, like an astonishingly low number have actually like asked a woman out in person.
They're scared to. Because it's rejection.
Because they're scared of rejection. And I think everything you see on social media and pop culture, you know, for the younger generation, it definitely is, here's this idealized version of what you want. I think for our generation, for you and me, it's very much like I had just mentioned. I think we look for someone who just puts that smile on your face, who you can't get out of your head. And when you're away from them, you're just generally grumpy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think once you reach a certain age, you care less about the looks. I mean, you still care about the looks a little, but less, and you want to have fun.
You want someone that is your best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look for someone, it is someone who is or can become my best friend.
They have to like Florida football.
They have to love Florida football. I mean, come on. That's,
and they can't be a Seminole fan.
They cannot be a Free Shoe University fan. But you do. You want someone who's your best friend. Someone who you can go out and, when you go out, and, you know, going out to dinner, playing pool downtown, whatever, you just, it's, you would rather be nowhere else on the planet.
Yeah. And that's tough to find, but when you find it, you got to hold it. And that's when you've got to try.
Indeed. And speaking of finding and holding, also on the gram, and this one hit home because I didn't exactly live this, but been in this situation. There was an astonishing factoid that came out. When you get married, it's till death do us part.
That's what
better
they say.
Better or worse,
for better or worse,
till death do us part.
Which means if you're sick or you hit hard times.
If you need a new liver.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're terminally ill, like I was, I mean, I've been very open on this.
You were close to death.
I was planning my own funeral. Yeah.
Not many people planned my own funeral. Yeah.
You know, 30 seconds bleeding out on the operating table. Yeah, I was close to dying. I honestly probably shouldn't be here.
But you are.
But I am. So, when a married couple, one spouse is terminally ill, 2.9% of women, only 2.9% of women, will separate and say, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
You want to know what the stat with men is?
What is it?
21% of men.
See, I didn't surprise me, though, because men aren't really nurturing.
So, obviously, I lived this.
Yeah.
I lived this. My ex-wife actually wanted to divorce me a year before she did. It was a year into marriage, and she just decided marriage isn't for me. Had nothing to do with me. At least I hope. At least she says. She just wasn't, marriage wasn't.
There are people that aren't married.
Yeah. It just wasn't, granted, we got married at the beginning of COVID and we're married through COVID. And that was a huge curveball. And I think that had a lot to do with it.
It was an odd time.
A very odd time. You know, there was no independence. It was, we were in each other's faces 24/7. So, but she had wanted to divorce me basically shortly after our first wedding anniversary. She was like, talk to her therapist. She was out. And then I got sick. And honestly, the easiest thing on the planet probably would have been for her to still at that point say, you know what? I'm out.
Yeah, I didn't sign up for it.
This is not what I signed up for. Let your family take care of you. And she didn't. God bless her heart. And that's why I, no matter what happened at the end, I will forever be grateful to that woman.
Yeah.
And there were times, I remember I was laying there in my bed, being looked after. And I told her, you're going to resent me. And I would profusely say, I'm sorry that you are going to resent me. And, you know, she would just reply, oh, this is exactly what I signed up for. You know, sickness and health, better or worse. Obviously, it wasn't what she signed up for. She wanted to get out of it. But God bless her heart, because if not for her, I wouldn't be here. And she stuck through it. And I think that, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. A, women definitely are more nurturing. I just think they are more empathetic and more caring.
100% on a whole.
On a whole. You know, the fact that 21% of men leave, that I don't know if it makes me sick or pisses me off.
Well, I don't think it really should do anything. It's just people are people. And some people, I mean, you can't relate to what somebody's going through at the time. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Albert Pujols is a prime example of a man who, you know, left his wife when she was diagnosed with cancer. You know, I don't know if he was planning on leaving her. I mean, he said it was like going to happen no matter what. But, you know, I can sit here and I can judge, but I'm not living his life. I'm not living his wife's life. I don't know what the situation is, but I do know that women are natural nurturers. Even the hardest woman that I know is a nurturer at some point in time. And for men, most men aren't nurturers. Most men are more protectors, and nurturing isn't what they do.
I mean, look, I can honestly say that if the roles were reversed, I would have stuck around. And I think people who know me I would stick around.
I mean, I think you would. I mean, when we're presented it, it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, I can sit there and say that when I get up to bat for the San Francisco Giants, I'm going to get a base hit. It might not happen. Probably won't happen. But, you know, when you're in a situation like it, everything depends on the time, what's going on, you know, what you have to sacrifice to do that and what you have to give up. And I never like to live in hypotheticals, just because hypotheticals are hypotheticals. And then all of a sudden you get hit in the face with, and you're like, ooh, this is a lot different than I expected.
We're
all good people. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's a bad person because they walk away when somebody is sick. It doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad person.
It's almost like kicking them when you're down. It really is.
It
hey,
is,
honey, but I have cancer, stage 4. I'm going to die. See you later. Peace out.
It is, but if that person isn't fit to take care of that person,
then that person shouldn't get married. I'll be perfectly honest. When you get married, you say for better or worse, in sickness and health, for better or worse. It's not, it depends how sick you are.
You know,
how sick you are.
The thing is, though, is I've signed up for things I thought I would like and I didn't like. And we all have. We've all done that. And we have to definitely have to give some grace to some people. And
I mean, honestly, I'm biased because of what I went through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It would have killed me if my ex-wife came in and said, you need a new liver. By the way, here's your divorce papers.
I don't think anybody would ever put it that way. I don't think anybody would put it that way.
I mean, isn't that what 21% of men are doing?
I don't think that they're walking in saying, here's the divorce papers.
I'm terminally ill. You're terminally ill. I'm leaving you.
Well, I don't think it's presented that way.
I think it sounds like it's exactly presented that way. Honey, I have stage 4 cancer. Oh, holy smokes, I'm out.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're not going to add positivity to that relationship when somebody is sick, then you probably shouldn't be in that relationship. And there are people who are negative people, and they're not fit to handle that. Not everybody is fit to handle a situation like that. That's how we're. I mean, every single person's different.
It shocked me.
It does not shock me at all.
It shocks me for two reasons. A, because of what I went through, and B, you know, I thank God my ex-wife was one of the 97.1%.
100%, yeah,
and I am a hopeless romantic, so yeah.
You could have been fine if she did divorce you.
We're living in hypotheticals. Look, Lucas, I'm telling you right now, if that woman left me, I'd have been dead. I'm telling you right now. If that woman left me and said, you're on your own, the amount of medication I had to take, the number of times I had to go to the into the ER or go to doctor's visits, arranging for me to get out of the state of California to get to Florida, arranging housing, arranging transportation, arranging all the medical records to go to the University of Florida in the state I was in, I'd have died.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you stuck around.
I'd have died. So on that note, let's talk about something much, much sunnier. And the fact that the Golden State Warriors won their very first game of the NBA playoffs against the Houston Rockets.
And coming up on Wednesday, it is game 2. There's a little break there. It's kind of weird. They have 2 days off in between games. The NBA loves to douse any sort of momentum that the Warriors
have. They do. It's called the Draymond Green effect.
Yeah. So I hope they can win game 2, because if they win game 2, I think that means they're absolutely going to win the series.
Well, here's the thing with the Warriors versus the Rockets. And in the NBA, a lot of times you get this. The Rockets, young, up and very young.
They're a very young team.
Very young team. First time in the playoffs. The Warriors, very mature, experienced team. And the NBA playoffs are a different beast. They just are a way different beast than the regular season. They got Jimmy Butler.
Playoff Jimmy.
You know, I just think the Warriors were way more experienced. I would not be surprised to see the Warriors sweep the Rockets.
But that would be awesome if that happened.
Because they are just way more experienced. The Rockets need to take this one as – they need to take this year's playoff run as a learning experience. And unlike the Kings, improve next year in their playoff standing. Unlike the Kings from 3 years ago who made the playoffs – and then took a step back last year and this year.
Again, that's predictable. I mean, it's predictable as the seasons.
It is predictable.
As long as they have that ownership and the people in charge, that's going to be the outcome for the Kings.
Well, you know, if we go play the Powerball, maybe we could buy the Kings. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, but yeah. Warriors giving us some excitement here.
That's
in
very
NBA
exciting.
Basketball
yes.
season.
I love it.
Lakers lost their first game, which made a lot of people happy.
I think the Lakers will be fine, though. I know they lost their first game. The Clippers lost their first game, too, right?
So, who cares about the Clippers?
No, but I mean, it's pretty funny. All the LA teams lost.
Yeah. All the LA teams lost. But the LeBron haters were extremely excited that the Lakers lost.
Yeah, you know, I get that. There are a lot of people that don't believe he's the GOAT and this and that, and they hate him. And it's just, why so much hate? Why not just allow LeBron to be LeBron. And...
Because people hate it when a player eclipses their childhood idol. They do. So a lot of people hate LeBron because he, you know, maybe is eclipsing or in the limelight more, whatever, than Michael Jordan.
Can I tell you something, though?
Yes.
Michael Jordan didn't play when he was 40 years old.
No, he didn't.
LeBron James is still playing at 40. He's still playing at a high level.
He's playing at an elite level.
When people tell me, they're like, well, Michael Jordan never did this. I'm like, well, Michael Jordan never played when he was 40 years old.
Did not.
He also didn't play in the NBA when he was 18 years old. LeBron James played at 18, and he played at 40. He's not much younger than you.
He's still playing.
He's kind of like in the generation.
I mean, I'm going to go work out and start making my comeback.
Exactly.
There you go.
I actually like LeBron. I don't like the Lakers. I want the Lakers to lose. But I do like LeBron.
So, speaking of someone that a lot of people don't like these days, former athlete, by the way. So, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan.
Wrestling.
Grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
And in Hillmar, wrestling's pretty big.
Wrestling is pretty big.
It's W-R-A.
Big time wrestling.
Wrestling.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
So on the Pat McAfee show,
yes,
they had Paul Heyman, he of WWE fame, former wise man for the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. He was on chit-chatting about...
No F's given.
Chit-chatting about WrestleMania that just happened this past weekend. There are some people that are shocked and amazed that people actually watch WrestleMania.
I mean, it's huge.
I saw a little bit.
I want to say something funny. I saw somebody post that they were there, and the ring from their video looked like that big.
But sounds about right. And they probably paid up the wazoo.
Yeah.
So Paul Heyman was on there talking about CM Punk,
mm-hmm,
also a professional wrestler, and says that CM Punk does for the WWE what Shannon Sharp is to ESPN.
Ouch!
After today. And he knew well aware what happened today. That was a big out. So for those of you who don't know, Shannon Sharp is being sued for sexual assault. Sued for sexual assault by someone that he was in, and I quote, a rocky consensual relationship with.
But the caveat is her age. What was her age?
19.
And Shannon Sharp is older than me.
Older than me?
Yeah, he's close to 60. If not, he might be 60.
So Shannon Sharp came out and, of course, categorically denied the allegations.
So what? So does he say it's fake? Or, I mean, did they actually have a relationship?
No, they had a relationship. He's saying it's all made up and that this person is trying to extort him for money.
I would like to ask him, though. Shannon, you have a lot of money. You have a TV show. What made you decide to date a 19-year-old?
Well, and this is Shannon Sharp. He of the getting involved with a former co-host that he was pushing, Joy Reid,
mm-hmm,
when he was at FS1.
And she's like, is she still on the air? Or has she been taken? I mean, I know that just...
No, she's back on the air.
That situation is disastrous.
And then also, I think the age discrepancy here. I mean, I don't want to use the word predator, but...
Well, you know, it's one thing for him to delve into the 20s.
The power dynamic was certainly off.
Yeah, yeah. If he was dating somebody 22, 23, 24, yes, is it a big age difference? Mm-hmm, it is. But she can legally drink. This person can't...
Couldn't even legally drink.
No, she can't legally drink at all. So I think that, you know... They had nothing... It just is a bizarre situation.
It is bizarre.
It's irresponsible.
Very irresponsible on Shannon Sharp's part. The power dynamics are off, and I can honestly, in this case, I'm inclined to believe his accuser, just because of A, his past history, and B, just the entire situation as a whole. I am inclined to believe the accuser. I think maybe she was put in a situation where at the moment she didn't say no just because of the power dynamic that was involved, but that something untowards definitely happened would be
Yeah.
I'm inclined to believe.
Also, how many people's careers has he destroyed on his show? How many people has he got caught after and ripped apart and sat there on his ivory tower and judged?
Yep.
So when you're up on that ivory tower judging, be sure you're clean.
And don't throw stones in glass houses. Yes. And Shannon Sharpe's entire world is made up of a glass house.
100%.
So that brings us to
the worst week ever.
So there was two finalists for the worst week ever. There were two. First one would have to go to former Tennessee quarterback Nico Emelavea.
Okay.
Who, quarterback of the Tennessee Volunteers last year, led in the college football playoff, making $4 million a year. Apparently his posse or whatever thought that wasn't enough. And they basically went to the University of Tennessee and said, we need to renegotiate. Which you knew in the NIL world, this was going to happen.
Yeah.
After 1 year, some dude was
going to
say,
I want more. More. I want more.
Usually, they just go back into the transfer portal. But in this case, he tried to renegotiate. Tennessee called his bluff. He entered the transfer portal. Where does he sign at? The University of California, Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So, he went from a team in the top tier of the SEC that made the college football playoff to a team in the bottom of the Big Ten with a losing record for less than half, reportedly, less than half of what he was making in Tennessee.
And a more expensive place to live.
With higher taxes.
The only good thing about this is the fact that he's living in LA.
He does get to live in Westwood.
Yeah, but he can't afford anything.
Now, in any normal week, he would have been the clear winner of the worst week ever. This is not a normal week, no. Lucas.
It was actually, now, and we've had to add people that could. Shannon Sharpe could have been a finalist now.
Yeah, Shannon Sharpe could have been. But it's not a week that His Holiness the Pope died. J.D. Vance, you officially had the worst week ever. Let's look at J.D. Vance's week. Okay, it starts off with him fumbling and breaking the college football playoff trophy.
Yeah, why would he pick it up?
I don't know.
And he didn't know it was two pieces?
I don't know.
Like, it's just bizarre.
So he fumbles that, becomes an internet meme based on that. And then this past weekend, he had to see His Holiness. Originally, he went, and His Holiness sent his second-in-command to go out and give J.D. Vance a lecture on, you know, how not to be a douchebag.
Yeah.
Because he does a very good job of that. But no, J.D. Vance insisted on seeing His Holiness, where he then goes to meet His Holiness, shakes his hand, says, it's nice to meet you. Who goes to His Holiness and says, it's nice to meet you, and I'll be praying for you? And what happens immediately after that?
The Pope is passed
on. Pope dies. Yeah, Pope dies of a cerebral stroke.
Yeah. The day after Easter.
The morning after Easter.
Morning after Easter.
The internet went bananas. Some people commenting on J.D. Vance's post about him meeting the Pope that he has a list of people that they have a list of people they want J.D. Vance to pray for. Another one asking when he was going to go visit Putin. Just to be the last person to like literally interact with the Pope before he dies.
Yeah, after you fumble
the national championship trophy. J.D. Vance, honestly, almost any week this guy can get the worst week ever. Let's not forget that he called everyone in China a peasant.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance, you get the worst week ever. Let's not try to kill anyone next week.
Yes. And by the way, when you see J.D. Vance with his no beard, he looks like a different person.
Yeah, it's odd.
No jawline.
Well, everyone, that was this week's Lucas and Lee podcast.
Yay!
We'll be back next week for another exciting edition. Until then, see you later.